Are there any lost civilizations hidden in China that may answer some of our UFO questions? Can the lost city of Sanxingdui answer these questions? Today we have Chinese ufologist Shoma with us to talk about this ancient city and her own encounters with non-human intelligence. And does she think there's other hidden cities in China that could answer human history and the mystery of ufology? I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, the one and only Shoma.
There she is.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Of course, all the way from Australia.
Yes.
Well, first of all, my apologies. I misspoke your name. So it's Shoma.
Yes. Right? Xiao is my first name, so you can call me Xiao.
Okay, Xiao.
Thanks.
Perfect. Well, I'm excited because I was telling you before that I've never had anybody that from China or even anybody to talk about Chinese ancient civilizations and mixed in with ufology. So this is exciting for me, so I really appreciate it. I was telling you before, everybody has their own UFO stories. You know, myself, you know, many of my guests, people on the streets, you know, I don't really believe, but I did see something, or I saw a spacecraft, or I saw an alien or extraterrestrial. So, but you've had, sounds like, quite a few encounters. Could you talk about your own personal encounters before we get into anything else?
Sure. Thanks, Tony. So my experience back in 2012, before that, I was just average Joe Blow working 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
And one day when I was, you know, traveled to Brisbane office, and I saw there was a UFO crop hovering outside of the sky, you know, like a window. So I look at it and I'm like, my gosh, I don't know what that is. Silvery color, round ball shape, just hovering in the sky in the midway through. So that really challenged my paradigm. So I start to think there might be something beyond what we know. And after that, it's just here for 1 minute. I feel like there's a telepathic connection between me and that craft. That craft radiated much love, you know, sort of warm sort of feeling. So I start to want to dig in the rabbit hole. I decided to look further, you know, try to check all the YouTube's channels, try to learn what is this saying. Is that really man-made or UFO craft? So after that incident happened back in 2012, of course, none of my colleagues believed me. And I said, oh, I saw this outside of my office. So nobody believed me. So my experience just started to picking up, you know, all those very intense out-of-body experience. Meeting with various different ET beings. Some are benevolent.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are benevolent. A bit of them are neutral, you know, business-like, just here to see what you're doing, basically. And they are a very small portion of malevolent. So that's my contact experience. The beings can be from, you know, what we typically know as like typical alien-shaped being.
Mm-hmm.
Could be towards, you know, angelic beings. And all sorts of interesting experience and feeling. So I don't know whether you're familiar with Ray Hernandez's contact modalities or not. So he talks about people have a different contact with different modalities,
right?
Not just each contact. So I had quite a few after my first encounter. So that's how the things start to picking up ever since. So I'm on my journey to figure out what's going on.
And how, I mean, here, even if you know, 20, 30 years ago, people here, if you mentioned you saw a UFO, they would look at you kind of like you're little nuts. But now it's becoming more mainstream. You know, we're hearing it in the news, even the government's starting to talk about it. What is the experience like in China with people that openly talk about UFOs or even the government? How do they recognize or not recognize or keep it down, down low? How is that?
That's a great question. So after my experience, somehow I break into Chinese ufology and spiritual community just because I can speak Chinese and people invite me.
Mm-hmm.
So I start to do various different interviews, getting to know so many Chinese. And there's quite a few things I figure out is quite interesting compared with, you know, Western ufology community with Chinese ufology community. The first thing people have to know that Chinese ufology is at least 30 to 40 years behind Western UFOG community. Seriously, I'm not joking. The reason being, not because people doesn't wake up, a lot of people are fully awakened now, but the issue is the government control. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. Everything you do in China is more or less politically related. They have extremely controlled narrative in terms of what you can talk about, what you can't talk about. It's not just ufology, you know, all sorts of things in your daily life. So for ufology, that's the first thing I want to mention is the political control. So there's only very less information available in Chinese ufology community and right. spiritual community. So what people do is they get on this YouTube, like your channel and other channel. They download it, put in a subtitle, put it in China so people can, that's Tony's latest YouTube with Xiaoma and other, you know, other famous figures. And so that's how they actually get those information. Just because the less people are willing to talk about publicly, mm-hmm. Given the political control and danger that might involve. The next thing I realized is the audience. China have 1.4 billion population. Ooh. I reckon could be more by now. So a lot of people are very awakened, no less than Western countries. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, something different about that is the number of contacts I've got, like people email me, you know, all sorts of emails say, oh, what do you think about this and that? This is my experience. What's interesting about that is Chinese, when they reach out to me, tend to be the younger generation. So because I'm based in Sydney, Australia, for the viewer who don't know yet. So when I attend local ufology, say, presentation on a monthly basis, you know, you pay $20 entry.
Right.
And the people where they're getting, what I can see is most of them are elderly age, you know, 55 plus at least. I would say 80% are like that. But in China, the listeners, I would say more than 80% are younger generation. Hmm. We're talking about say high school age towards 45-ish. So the younger generation people. And I also co-hosted two successful conference in China, you know, ufology and spiritual conference in China. Most of the people who attended those conference are younger generation rather than older generation. So that's quite different compared with Western countries. So that's what I found is different. So yeah. There's other factors involved, like personality traits. I hope I'm not talking too much.
No, you're doing great.
it's just personality traits as well. Like when I got into Chinese ufology and spiritual communities, what I actually learned is that there are a lot of spiritual leaders in Chinese community. You know, they talk about all sorts of spiritual guru. Right. There's a lot. But there are not many ufologists or UFO researchers. So I thought maybe that's due to political control because I'm based in Sydney. So relatively speaking, mm-hmm. I could be safer. But one factor is because of political control. The second reason I reckon because of social condition and personality traits. Because, you know, in the Western country, when something happened to me in the US, oh my God, you know, let's hop on the YouTube, let's mm-hmm. talk about it and record it so people can see. That's very common, you know, for in the Western country. But that's not the case in China. For those emails I've got, say, oh my God, I love your interview, you talk about this and that really resonates with Michelle. And I go, great. How about let me patch up an interview between you and say your Tony could be someone else in China, right? They talk in Chinese. Maybe you can talk about your experience so more people will resonate to it and people right. can learn from your experience. And the next reaction, 99% chance I will get is, I'd rather just be, you know, keep it for myself, but I'm happy to chat with you over, you know, WeChat, we call WeChat like WhatsApp, or just email correspondence. And that is quite different. Like I try so hard, even during my interview in China, I say, look, guys, you have to come out. You have to come out, talk about it, because there's less information original information from China.
Right.
I know you guys got lots of information from the Western country. You know, you watch this show, that show, with subtitling yet. But what's going on in China? People want to know. But there's a lot of resistance from the Chinese local community in terms of who willing to come out to talk about it. So I reckon that could be, you know,
right.
personality traits of Chinese compared with the Western country. So, yeah.
So, I mean, China's, like you said, 1.4 billion plus people, but
yeah.
it's also a huge country. I mean, it's huge.
It is.
The landmass
yeah.
is amazing. And so have you ever done any research or is there any research at all? Because they don't have, or maybe they do have like a MUFON here, you know, a mutual UFO network. Do they have any type
yeah.
of networks that keep track of people?
Oh man, don't get me started by talking about that. I mean, I joined the Chinese UFO Association before.
Not good.
And there's a lot of politics.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Incredible. I mean, you know, the thing they can do to each other is beyond your imagination. You know, it's to the degree that it's more or less organization for the sake of title rather than
oh.
they actually do something.
Right.
So I wish I can share some more positive information, but judging by that association, there's only one what I know. I'm not very impressed because a lot of politics, and my friends just show her hands and shall rather just do an interview, do some, you know, real stuff rather than join mm-hmm. the organization. It's too
right.
much. So I'm just like, yeah, I agree. So I left the organization just because too much politics is incredible, Tony.
Oh, I'm
so
sure. It's
I know
anything.
That Western country, you know, in the Western community, you know, you like especially ufology community, I heard about this thing. Now people eventually come, you know, back together to work together.
Right.
But in Chinese community, we experience a lot of politics and sabotage, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So a lot of ego play, of course. So not
yeah,
very
that's
pleased.
Too bad. That's too bad. Yeah. Because I was going to say, if they did, and in like in America, that you know, we have maps of, you know, California, New York, and a lot of the bigger cities, a lot of UFOs are being seen because there's more people. And also the, you know, the rural areas, the small country towns, there's a few here and there. Is there any particular place that you know of in China that there's a lot more visual sightings of UFOs?
Yeah, I heard about it. There's quite a few hot spots in China that people constantly see that UFO on a daily basis.
Hmm.
Like I heard about a place around western, like southwest part of China. That's less population.
Oh.
The reason why they say there's more UFO sighting and lots of activities, according to the rumors, which I don't have concrete evidence, is because they say that there's a lot of bases underneath, you know, alien base, I don't know, military base
mm-hmm.
or some sort. So you get those more sort of sightings involved. The southwest part of China, maybe we're talking about somewhere closer to Xinjiang, somewhere like that.
Right.
So that's are the hot spots. And also north, you know, north part of China, there's a very famous mountain in China called Changbai Mountain. That's very interesting area. You know, people start to see those like Bigfoot and creatures and the Bigfoot. Of course, I'm sorry, Bigfoot are human beings, like
oh,
beings.
Bigfoot,
they're,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they are very intelligent. I shouldn't use that word of creature, my apology. They are very intelligent and all sorts of interesting paranormal activities. So there are quite a few hotspots in China, and also like big cities like Beijing, Shanghai, they do get a lot of sightings too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was always curious because, like I said, I've never had a chance to talk to anybody that's actually done research or been, you know, from there or had a sighting there. And I wish the government or even, like you said, organizations were more open or more organized to where, you know, we can get some accurate documentation or you know, sightings
yeah.
So the world can kind of compare.
It's really hard. It's not because people don't want to do it, because anything you do could trigger the CCP's nerve. I mean, when I had a conference, my friends say, oh, Fab, you know, that's perfect time. Why don't you hand out those like a survey shell, you know, like a questionnaire, like, have you got this experience, the tick, tick. I thought that would be a great way to collect data, mm-hmm. you know, then we can study it, because the conference attendees are more or less awakened. So,
right.
And then everything you do in China, you have to have that kind of political sort of thinking, like you have to be careful,
right.
because the local government may label you as collecting wrongful, like illegal data, or try to do something dodgy from their point of view.
Right.
So I'm sure there are some ufologists in China does that, but they are very quiet, just because when people start to break into this field, because it's still ufology is a very sensitive area, you know, talk about the technology and everything. So very likely they will be either one silenced, put in jail, which I'm happy to share one case with you later on.
I would love it.
The second, the second is they may you, like they say, just be quiet, you're now working for us. So it's only very wow. extreme two ways. It's very less for people, you know, big mouths talk about the ufology, but I'm the exception because I'm based in Sydney, Australia, so I should be a bit safer.
Right. Well, one thing that I love is ancient history, and and again, we don't really get to hear a lot about China's ancient history, except the you know the Great Wall and you know some of the other stuff, but you know Egypt and Machu Picchu and several others have had experiences through hieroglyphs and other remnants of even the Bible talks about you know chariots in the sky and you know sky people you know Native Americans and so what is China's some of China's ancient not necessarily we'll talk about the sites in a minute but about some of their you know I don't know if you call them tribes over there but you know your ancient history of what they see what do they call them sky people what are they
well people probably doesn't know that China actually have a lot of pyramids.
They do have pyramids.
Many pyramids.
Really?
And what's interesting about so many pyramids, I wish I can show you a few photos if I fully prepare myself. So many pyramids. But now they, you know, covered by the grass and tree stuff.
Right.
And if people use Google, they may find quite a few pyramids in China. The issue with that is so many smart Chinese, and they start to think, oh my gosh, there's so many pyramids. Maybe we can do some diggings and maybe they can find gold. A reason they would try to use, you know, but the issue is if government doesn't give you that permit, people are not allowed to do any excavations.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the reason behind, but there are so many lost civilizations in China, and those pyramids we really want to explore, but you don't have permits, so you can't do it. It's a very little chance, literally to 1% chance that government will say, all right, you can have the permit, you can do whatever you like. Every excavation is led by the government action. So wow. government found it, government study it and release it. So they have the absolute control of the narrative, how much information they want mm-hmm. to release to the public. So there are a lot of interesting things in China, like the one I'm going to talk about, you know, Sanxin doing in the Contact in the Desert. It shows it's a lost civilization and have a strong tie with Sumerians and Egyptian cultures. So a lot of things like that in China. So we will see in the coming years. Hopefully more things will come out.
Yeah, and I'm surprised the government doesn't go and excavate some of these pyramids themselves. I mean, I would think either they're trying to not discover something or they already know the answers to it.
I reckon I'm more prone towards your second view. Think they might have done their, you know, studies, and they may have all the information kept for themselves, but maybe decided not to share with the public. Who knows? But I'll be very surprised that they're sitting on a, you know, vast reservoir of information pyramids, and they decided not to do anything about it. I don't think so. They might get something which we're not aware of. So they may already know the answer, the secrets inside.
Do you think these pyramids are even older than Egypt?
Yes, I believe so. A lot of them, not all, but I would say a lot of them do. Yeah, wow. Even more ancient than the Chinese civilization. So.
See that? That just breaks my heart. I want to know.
I know, Tony. It's a humanity's treasure. You know, it's not just China. It's for everyone. You know, for all of us. It's our history. Yeah. We want to know.
Yeah, I mean, because history, there's no. I mean, there are boundaries and. You know, but we are humanity. Like you said, we're humanity. We're humans. Knowing the world history is very important, not just, you know, our country's history, because it affected all of us back then. So, yeah. Oh my gosh. I want to know where are most of these pyramids? Or are they just mostly spread out through all of China?
They are they're spread out around the country, but there are also quite a few spots where you get more pyramids. Like the pyramids around, like, how you call it, in the center of the China, near Xi'an sort of area, there's quite a few. In the western part of China, there's quite a few. I can send you quite a few Google Maps, but I do know quite a few archaeologists in China. Who does look into these topics.
Oh,
so
really?
I'm happy to introduce them to you. Maybe you can interview them next time.
I would love that, because I've been wanting to. I've talked about Egypt a million times, and you know, South America and Mexico, but I'm like, I want to talk about some of the pyramids in China. In fact, I think I just pulled a picture up. You can tell me if this is legit or not, and see and see if this is one. Oh my gosh, if it is, there's tons of them. Hold on.
You should pay a visit to China after COVID-19. Yes, that is one of very famous photos in China. So yes, it looks like a pyramid to me. I saw that picture before. People showed it to me before.
So why do you think so many, I mean, like you said, Mexico, South America, Egypt, and other parts of the world, and China, pyramids were so important at that time. It seems like they were around thousands of years, and then they just stopped building things like pyramids. Why do you think it was so important?
You probably know more than I do in that theory, but from my perspective, I would consider pyramids is sort of the right shape of gathering or collecting energies. Maybe that's how they shaped it. And you know, the Giza pyramids are cut in 51 degree, 51 second, 51 that. So that shape must be so important. There's certain information. I don't claim that I know everything. That's what I can see. So as you can see, pyramid shaped stuff seems like a pop up everywhere in this world. So especially during that ancient period, we're talking about 3,000 to 5,000 years BC, even older. And that looks like a pyramid to me.
It looks like a pyramid to me, too.
I just want to know what have they found underneath. It'll be very interesting.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
Well, I have one. Yeah. I have a question in the chat room, and then I'm going to talk about the ancient city that you're going to be talking about at Contact in the Desert. But Star Brother on YouTube says... what does Shao think about Bill Maher?
Billy Maher. Oh, okay. One of my contacts in the Sky Alien, they are Pleiades. They told me the first thing she came, I think a few years ago, she said, Billy Maher information is true. But there are some mixture of everything. So Billy Maher's, from what I can interpret from that message, is Billy Maher's early contact, more or less, I think, is real. But after that, he may be threatened by certain organization. So he had no choice but to release some fake information.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, this
throw off the scent
himself in order to, you know, get away with this trouble situation.
Right.
This is commonly That's the trait that, you know, those intelligence community often use. Even for this guy called, I can't remember his name, I beg your pardon. That's what they did to him. You know, he was talking about the true information beginning, and they came say, if you do not do this way, we will do this to you. So he's being threatened. He's got no choice but to release those like very fake stuff, and people can look at it and say, that's just so fake, you know, Billy, you know, that's not real. So they want them to discredit themselves, you know, those organization. And regarding Billy Meyer, what I can, that's my observation, I think his early information are more or less quite interesting. It might be true, but later stuff are a man-made and fake. He probably put out there just for the sake of saving his own life.
Oh, I'm
So
sure.
yeah.
And what about you? I mean, you're very outspoken. You're talking about China and their, you know, their UFOs and, you know, how is it for you being Chinese from China and you know, outspoken about UFOs? Are you at any danger or any?
I've been told off by, you know, by the government for once, you know, not to do it. And they, of course, sabotage my reputation and other things, which is pretty sad. It happened around early 2019,
Oh,
but
wow.
lucky enough, I'm based in Sydney, Australia. So, but, you know, I just have to keep my head down and be silent a bit. Again, I'm just a civilian. I don't have any background, so nobody can save me besides myself. So that's why one of the reasons I choose this topic at Kantar Desert, you know, it's called archaeology. Archaeology is a safer topic to talk about it. You're talking about ancient alien stuff. So rather than, you know, touch on the CCP nerve, you know, talk about ufology in China. So I need to not to cross the red line that much.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We have to do a commercial for our amazing people at Contact in the Desert, where Xiaomei is going to be speaking June 25th through the 28th. Get your tickets. You can go to contactinthedesert.com. So we'll be right back, and we have more to talk about. We have an ancient civilization that was discovered, I think, just about 30 years ago or something like that. So, all right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When you start to ask the question, it unfolds the fabric of space itself, how it's made, what is it made of?
We're not alone in this universe. We never have been.
Alien intelligences have cohabited with us on this planet for millions of years.
We inherited the obsession from the Anunnaki.
Anyone that still thinks that we're the ones that are obsessed with gold does not know enough about the true history of our species, how we came to be here,
and the conditions that brought us here.
We are not unique in this universe. Extraterrestrials do exist. We are, so to say, the copies of them.
We are back. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. We're here with Xiaomei, and she is a Chinese ufologist and researcher, and she's going to be at Contact in the Desert June 25th through the 28th. She's going to be doing a lecture about one of the recent archaeological discoveries of a lost civilization. And so get your tickets. It's included in the pass, so you know what? I think this is going to be a great conversation and a lecture. So we're going to get into the civilization that was discovered. But first, there's a question from the chat room, and I wanted to ask this because I thought, you know, this is a pretty good question. And they want to know if you think the Great Awakening is a disclosure of alien influence on Earth.
I think that's a great question. I think a part of it is going to do with disclosure. But what I think Great Awakening is consciousness awakening. The information I've got when I was on a spacecraft is that there will be a new Earth. I don't know whether we're talking about a new Earth means this current Earth or brand new planet. I don't know yet. But they say this great awakening is when people start to be awakened and they will live in this new planet called the New Earth. But not everyone, that's what they told me, not everyone is going to make the cut. Sounds to me that will be more or less a purge in the end in terms of who can ascend, who's not. So they said to me that you have to have a life transformation in order to reach that level. So great awakening, from my interpretation, again, everybody have a different, you know, interpretation, right, about that word. It's called great awakening, is for a soul like you and I to complete a life journey. Life journey could be, for you, could be found out an answer. For me, could be a different thing, to achieve our a soul in life. And then we will have a great awakening in the end. Great awakening also contains a full disclosure of information. I mean, when the major, you know, if there's a great purge, something like that, then they will have to come down to save us. That moment when they come down is a full disclosure, from, in my opinion. So quite a few events can happen simultaneously at the same time to trigger this great awakening.
Wow. That's a good... good answer. Yeah. And I had a guest on just the last hour, and he's an anthropologist. He's an astronomist. And he thinks aliens, extraterrestrials, are actually future humans coming back in time. And that's his theory. Go ahead.
I can only say I partially agree, because I know there are certain race, they are future human beings, but not all of them are. They are a very small group of people. They are future human beings. They claim to be the future, you know, us. I would say I partially agree with that.
What, in your opinion, and then, because I got to get into this ancient civilization, but I don't have you on very often, so definitely there'll have to be a part two. But why do you think for thousands, millions of years, they continue to visit us? Do you feel that we were brought here as an experiment, brought here to be slaves, brought here to watch the human race grow, and to see where, you know, through free will, to see how we evolve? I mean, what is your theory on that?
My theory on that is, I think Earth is a grand experiment. And unfortunately, this experience is such a mess. I mean, from what I heard, is beginning was like slave. And then there's more, you know, star beings realize, oh, you know, that's actually a nice planet. Let's just perform our experiments. Mm-hmm. So every race performed their agenda and they experiment on human beings. Some claim to be more benevolent than the others, but it's all different perspectives. So eventually this grand experiment on this Earth is literally almost, from our opinion, got out of the control. So you see different, all sorts of different ideologies on this planet, different race, different culture. It's great to have those, but it's getting too messy. You know, like a human being, some of, you know, we contain a gene that is very kind, loving, compassionate, mm-hmm. but also there's a certain crudeness, you know, a cold, that kind of like a negative gene within us. So we are a mixture of all sorts, basically. So I think this is a grand experiment on planet, but I don't think it's very, very successful one, unfortunately.
So. And somebody says, are we an alien ant farm? Which probably, that could be true. That could be true.
Yeah, it could be true. You know, I came out of the phrase where people talking about it, start being like, oh, you know, the Pleiadians, the Assyrians, you know, the kind of like an admire, worshiping feeling.
Right.
I'm no longer that, you know, I don't think so. All the races have their own agenda, right, even though they pretend to be someone super sweet and nice. But I think all the races, more or less, they have their own little agenda, maybe just more prone towards more positive more friendly to us or more, you know, use us as a biological, you know, other experiment. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we only have about 10 minutes left, so we have to talk a little bit about what you're going to be talking about at Contact in the Desert, and then also the ancient discovery of, I'm going to try to do it again because I did it in my intro, Sanyingdu.
Yeah, I know how to pronounce, yes.
So tell us about how significant this civilization is with ufology and how this is kind of a big discovery that honestly a lot of people don't talk about.
Well, again, this is part of the uncontrolled narrative. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, as you know, Tony, this, you know, archaeology sort of site has been discovered in last century, back in 1929, something right. like that. But they keep digging that sighting for quite a few years until now they make it a big news in China. And I believe it's a part of the partial disclosure movement, who knows. Why this one's so famous is it really challenged people's sort of idea about what is Chinese. Because what I found from this Sanxingdui, this site, is that the whole pictures and everything you can found, the shape, the culture, the clothing, everything resembles more European look. So literally, most of the even conservative archaeologists in China believe this lost civilization were originated from the Western part.
Really?
Of the, you know, the European countries rather than, you know, traditional Chinese. So, the, you know, Chinese, when we're talking about, so what is Chinese now? This archaeology site really challenged people believe when we're talking about ancient Chinese, are we always talking about the Chinese like me, like ancient Mongolian looking Chinese, so like Japanese or Chinese, you know, Korean looking? Or maybe when we're talking about ancient Chinese, we are talking about two different races. One is looks like Asian, the other may refer to the European Caucasian looking Chinese. So that's why this founding is quite interesting. And I quite like that because people need to open up their mind. You know, we don't have, you can't say, oh, Chinese have to be looked like this way. American have to be looked like that way. So according to this archaeology founding, it's a very strong evidence tend to suggest they are the breakaway civilization from Sumerians and ancient Egyptian cultures. So yeah.
Oh, that would make sense. That would make sense. And I mean, because looking at it, yeah, they don't look like normal Chinese
facial features and
yeah.
shape. Like, you know, see, tall nose bridge, huge
right.
eyes, and they even got their ears pierced. And that is kind of like a culture trait from Sumerian and Egyptians because they're wearing earrings. But ancient Chinese doesn't wear those earrings. And they use gold a lot, gold stuff. And in order to make those gold objects, they have to have such a very advanced technology to thinning the gold to the degree of 0.1 millimeters thick. But we're talking about a civilization that existed, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 years BC.
Wow.
During that time, you know, the traditional Chinese, like, you know, my ancestor, we, you know, in the bronze age, we use bronze. So where have they got such advanced technology? The only answer we can found is the ancient Egyptians. And this culture, what's really amazing is, I'm going to share a bit more during my presentation, is they worshiping eyes. You know, in China, we always worshiping dragon. Dragons
right.
sort of like a national symbol stuff. But this civilization, they worshiping eyes. You know, they have eye symbol, eye idol. This is a culture from the Sumerians, Mesopotamian sort of region. And when the scientists measure the size of the eyes, you know, on those artifacts, what they have found is those eyes are measured to the point of like golden pie. Also the ratio of golden pie. So it's like a 3.14, 3.15, 3.16, something like that. But how do they know? Because the ratio of golden pie only discovered a few hundred BC in the Greece by Greek mathematician. I tend to suggest that this civilization figured out the Golden Pie theory at least a few thousand years before the Greeks. So I think they have very advanced math knowledge.
So how big of civilization was this? Was it a few temples?
I would say a size of a few provinces. I would say it's hard to describe. I would say it's quite sizable, like maybe a quarter of China, sort of judging on the map.
Oh, that's big.
So that's pretty big area, and they reside, you know, based in the western part of China.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we reckon that could be where we call the Silk Road a base. So that's how they travel to the western countries, you know, through Afghanistan and to the Mesopotamian region, and eventually reach the Egypt. This raised worshipping eyes. And what's interesting about that, Tony, is if we check the Illuminati symbol, they always have a pyramid, the eyes on top.
Right.
And you got those pyramid shape. But this culture, similar thing, you know, they believe their king have an eye on top. And the ministers, like a servant to the king, have eyes in the middle.
Hmm.
And their slave, they will blind their slave. So the slave, according to their culture, don't deserve to have an eye.
Oh,
so
wow.
I reckon when they're talking about the eye, it could be referred to the third eye. So it seems like they also have that belief that, you know, the pyramid shape, the top, the king, the god have an eye on top, mm-hmm. in the middle. So I don't know where the Illuminati symbols face. So they all seems like more or less connected. As you can see, even in China, they worshiping eyes, this culture worshiping eyes, you know, have that symbol, like showing on your a dollar note. There's a pyramid with an eye on top. So exactly. That's what I found is quite fascinating. So everything is interrelated, Tony.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. If I think most people now they just don't notice things as much, where, you know, because we have so many distractions, you know, with technology, we don't really pay attention. But when we find civilizations such as this. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of different types of civilizations. I mean, that we just don't even know about yet that can change history. And what is this particular one? How has it changed history? I guess the Great Pyramid, what is it like? Well, they think, 10,000 or something like that years old?
I can sum up with one sentence. So basically, that major archaeological discovery, that means these Caucasian looking race can also be my ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really shaken the traditional Chinese belief system. Because we always thought our ancestor means, you know, the Asian looking ones. But really, right. Think twice. That civilization proved that ancient Chinese can also contain a Caucasian looking race. So it's very multicultural sort of area in China, but mind you, this civilization existed before what you call the China was actually sort of established. So we have to look from that perspective. I think people need to open their mind in their heart. You know, yes, ancient Chinese refers to we call the Huaxia civilization, that refers to, you know, like Asian looking race,
right.
But also refers to a lost civilization in China that resembles more European look. Those can also be our ancestors too.
If you think about it, most Native Americans, you know, the Latin America, a lot of them come from the Asian family tree branch. I mean, because they came over, and why not? Why can't, you know, more Caucasian looking come into the Asian into
exactly.
China. Yeah. So why? It's fascinating because, you know, the Vikings, you know, they've been to America way before Columbus ever discovered anything. So that's why I love history, is because it's always changing. And as long as we get the truth out there, we can all learn from it. So that's why I appreciate people like you for bringing this to our attention, because again, most of us have never heard of this civilization before.
You know, yeah, I mean, people have to have that. It's called the intellectual honesty. You know, just because it's discovered in China, these have to look like these, have to be this way. Not the case. We just better have an open mind and say, why not? Why can't the Caucasian arrive in China, you know, during that time? They can be one of our ancient ancestors. There's so many evidence tend to suggest this is the case. So why not? So people need to open their mind. And also maybe there are quite a few Asian tribes arriving in European country. They did some trade before. So let's just keep our mind open and just let the information in. So that's what I want to share. So yeah.
Well, the last guy, Dr. Michael Masters, like I said, he's talking about time travel. I said, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be amazing if we could just travel back more to observe like he thinks they're doing to us, just to see where these civilizations, how they began and where they went. And oh my gosh, it would be such an amazing thing to see that.
I have a lot of respect for Michael Masters. He's a very intelligent
guy.
And he's amazing. Very impressive. Yes.
All right. Well, we got to get out of here, unfortunately. Will you come back sometime and we can talk some more after contact is over and get you back in here?
Yeah, for sure. Of course, I'd love to. Thanks. And also happy to recommend a few Chinese
ufologists
to you, so maybe you can interview them as well.
I would love that. Thank you so much. And where do people find you? Like a website or social media?
People can email me. I normally don't have a website.
Okay.
So I run this as my little hobby. I work from Monday to Friday. So people can contact me by email. So my email address is my name. So it's Shao, shao.ma@hotmail.com. So, or they can find me through Facebook. Just search Shao Ma. So they can find me.
Awesome. Well, you are amazing. I really appreciate it.
And
I'm going to put this in the chat room. Somebody was asking me the name of the civilization, so I just put that in there. They're asking if you have a book. I think you probably should write one, just because so many people are wanting to know more about this civilization, and it'd be great to hear some more about ufology in China. So put a book together.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to Truth Be Told. And Xiaomei, she has been so kind to be a part of our show. Don't forget to get your tickets for Contact in the Desert. She's going to be there 25th through 28th. Get your tickets online, virtual event. And once again, we appreciate you guys for tuning in, sharing the show, making comments, having questions for us. It's always appreciated. Until next time, bye-bye now.
Bye.